This is Baxia Box Office, episode number 316, for the weekend of March 30th through April 1st. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, a podcast that's about movies and TV and other stuff. Art, how's it going over there?
It is going well. I am a week and a half into a three-week vacation. I am not missing work at all. My wife actually had the gall to ask me today, am I getting bored? And I said, no, I could retire now and be happy.
Yeah, she can't. You're never going to answer no to that question, are you?
I don't get it. I don't understand. I really don't get it. I don't know.
It's like my mom saw the board game shelf and was like, are you ever going to play all these? And I said, that's not the point. I can't play them if I don't have them. By the way, how many shoes you got in your closet?
There you go.
Okay, enough said. Right.
Enough said. Oh, good one, yeah.
All right, so this is the part of the show where we talk about what happened at the box office last week. So, thanks to our buddies over at Box Office Mojo, I'm about to tell you how last week's box office results were. All right. So, for the weekend of March 23rd through March 25th, here's your top five. At number one, new release, Pacific Rim Uprising. At $28.1 million. At number two, in its sixth week of release, Black Panther, $17.1 million. At number three, I Can Only Imagine, $13.6 million. That's in its second week of release, a $7 million budget. At number four, we have Sherlock Gnomes at $10.6 million. That was a new release. And number five, Tomb Raider, at $10.1 million, that was in its second week of release.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your top five.
Yeah, Pacific Rim, that's a pretty sad showing, but they're really making their money in the overseas market. So I think I heard $150 million weekend, which is much more respectable, but that's just not domestic. Tomb Raider dropping like a rock from second to fifth. I mean, if it had fallen a little more, it would have fell out altogether. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I haven't heard bad things about it.
Yeah, it's just not. I mean, it's not bad, but then maybe it's not good. It's kind of in the middle there. So, now, if it was a $37 million opening for Pacific Rim Uprising, would that impress you more? Or is it not enough?
No, I think it. I don't know. I mean,
because that's what the original did.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was, at that point, it was an unknown franchise. So, right. And it kind of, you know, got a little bit of cult status. So I just imagined it would have done a little more, you know, even if, you know, the big draw is overseas. I think I saw a number. They're already over $150 million in their opening weekend. So, you know, they made five times as much in the foreign markets than they did here in the States.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to conclude our look at last week's box office results. And so now we're going to move, instead of looking at the past, we're going to look at the future being this weekend. Art, what's coming out at the theater this weekend?
All right, coming out at the theater this weekend, we have one big movie that everybody is excited about. Ready Player One. It is currently 79% fresh, 142 reviews counted, 112 fresh, 30 rotten, 97% want to see it out of 8,935 user reviews. In the year 2045, people can escape their harsh reality in the Oasis, an immersive virtual world where you can go anywhere, do anything, be anyone. The only limits are your own imagination. Oasis creator James Halliday left his immense fortune and control of the Oasis to the winner of a contest designed to find a worthy heir. When unlikely hero Wade Watts conquers the first challenge of the reality-bending treasure hunt, he and his friends, known as the High Five, are hurled into fantastical universe of discovery and danger to save the Oasis and their world. Rated PG-13 for sequences of sci-fi action, violence, bloody images, some suggestive material, partial nudity, and language. Genres action adventure, science fiction, and fantasy, directed by Steven Spielberg, written by Zach Penn, Ernest Cline. Runtime is 140 minutes. We have Ty Sheridan, Olivia Cook, Ben Mendelsohn, Hannah John Common, TJ Miller, Simon Pegg, and Mark Rylance. This is like a seminal work of fiction, which I have never read, listened to, and I will now probably watch.
You never read the book or listened to the audiobook?
Nope, I really should. Everybody raves about it. I'm not saying I'm not interested. I've seen the previews. It looks good, but I'm not going to. And you know what? I won't go into it with the baggage that a lot of people will. Be like, well, they didn't do this, or they didn't have that, or they did this instead of that. I'll probably end up watching it and be like, cool, that was good. So.
Yeah, I mean, normally, if I deeply, deeply love the book, I'd be worried about how they're going to change it for the movie.
Right.
But I kind of come to the realization that the book, it was a good story, but it does have some weaknesses. So maybe they improved on the formula. I don't know. I think I'm gonna be dragging Jason to this because I think that he would like this.
Hmm.
I'm trying not to watch any of the clips. Like, right now I see on Rotten Tomatoes there's 4 Ready Player One videos.
Yeah.
Two of which are trailers. But then there's another 2-minute clip, and then there's another minute clip after that. I'm excited. I thought the Rotten Tomatoes number would be lower.
Okay.
I mean, just because critics being critics. For example, this is Inku Kang from Slate. Ready Player One has no obligation to be a rigorous intellectual exercise, even if it amounts to a wasted opportunity. It doesn't have to be so facile either. Or maybe next time the screenwriter shouldn't set the difficulty mode to easy. So I guess she's saying that it was a phone-in script.
Yeah.
And then right next to that, top critic Kenneth Turin from the LA Times, its plot is complexity itself. But its kids save the world's soul is simple and earnest as opposed to earth-shattering. With apologies to Bill and Ted, it's an excellent adventure, and let's leave it at that. Randy Myers from the San Jose Mercury News. The special effects team create technical marvels, which are thrilling as going on a theme park ride. His rating is 3 out of 4. So we'll definitely need to talk about this. But for such... For so many expectations, we're looking at 7 people.
Right.
One of which is Dutch from Killjoys. So I'm interested to see who she is. To be honest, it's been a while since I read the book.
Okay.
And I've had some friends talk to me about, what about, this part? And I was like, I don't remember that part of the book. I tend to remember, the challenges that he had to do for there's 3 challenges kind of thing. So in the trailer, did you catch on any Easter eggs for Willy Wonka?
I did not.
Okay. So, one of the songs from the original, you can hear in the back half of the first trailer. I mean, just, okay. They slow it down and it's an instrumental part kind of thing. And so it is, I mean, there is an element of the story that is definitely derived from Willy Wonka.
Okay.
So that's why I don't think it's too big a spoiler to say 3 challenges, but.
Right.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And seeing how much intellectual property they pressed into this movie. All right. So that's going to be our look at the one and only movie coming out in the theater this weekend. And now we're going to transition over to share time. This is the part of the show where Art and myself share what we've been doing with ourselves. And we kind of had a monster chunk since we were off a couple weeks last week. So, but now we've only had a week. So, Art, what have you been up to?
You know, getting a lot of stuff done around the house, so not as much entertainment watching, although I did still manage to squeeze a few things in. I'm continuing working through those two animated series, Armored Trooper Votoms, and I can, it's always one or the other, Fang of the Sun, Dugrum. Okay.
What was the first one again? You said a little quickly.
Armored Trooper Votoms.
Okay.
And the second one is Dugrum, Fang of the Sun. And these, they're long. One has like 70 episodes in it. The other one's like 40 or 50. So I'm still plugging away, still really enjoying it. Still can't recommend it enough if you're into giant zombie robots. Aubrey found this new show, Netflix original. It's called Alexa and Katie. And it tells the story of this. It's high school teen, kind of drama. The one girl has cancer, and it really becomes about how she's living her life, trying to move forward. You know, she's not in a hospital on the regular. She's like, you know, trying to go to high school, trying to be accepted, trying to, you know, deal with the fact that she has cancer. And it's really powerful and really kind of hard hitting. I'm surprised that Aubrey is into it so much. But I think there's some good lessons to be learned there, and it's handling it very well. And, I'm always down for more Netflix original stuff. And then the last thing I watched the new Jumanji. I sat down, watched it with Aubrey, and I really enjoyed it. It was really well done. There were definitely some things you saw coming from a mile away because they were just straight up things, you know, taken right from the original Jumanji, you know, kind of ported right over. But like I said, I really enjoyed it, and I would recommend it. If you have any interest in the original Jumanji, I think it is a worthy follow-up. And that will wrap up my share time for this week.
Yeah, I feel really bad that we never got to see Jumanji in the theater.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. One other thing. The Toys That Made Us. I did watch the first episode. I didn't get past that. I still want to watch the other three. It's G.I. Joe, He-Man, and Barbie, like we discussed last week. So I did also start that up as well. So, yeah.
Anything surprising that you learned from the first episode of The Toys That Made Us?
No, but I like I said, you know, when we talked about it last time, it, you know, it wasn't really that much surprising because of those four properties, Star Wars is the one I've always been most into.
Yeah, it's just the story of how they lost that to Hasbro.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. But all right. So what did I do for my share time? I had a busy, busy weekend with a lot of games and a lot of errands. And I don't know, Sunday I had one of those days where I just didn't want to do anything. I really didn't end up watching anything. I just, I ended up watching old movies over again. So my son and I, we watched Incredibles again. Incredibles might be approaching my New Hope number on how many times I've seen it. But I just can't look away whenever it's on.
Yeah.
Sometimes my son and I will recite when we're bored, the honey, where's my super suit?
Never gets old.
Yeah. And then I ended up watching, Hunt for Red October.
Okay, classic.
I really enjoy that one too, and it's made so much better by Happy Jacks because there's a part in the movie where the whole crew starts singing the Russian national anthem, and I can hear the lyrics from Mr. Venable in the background. So it just makes me giggle. That's basically all I'm going to say about that. All right, now I ended up finishing season 3 of The Detour. Show on TBS about a very dysfunctional family and all this crazy and weird crap that happens to them. Now they're in Alaska, and all this crazy, you know, the son ends up becoming the mayor, and there's this woman that's obsessed with a husband and all this other stuff. It's still continuing to make me laugh, probably not as much as season one, but I'm still enjoying watching it. There was a couple things that happened towards the end, kind of plot twist kind of things that you can probably, you know, like you said, coming from a mile away. They did a good job of setting up what's going to happen in season four. So it's not the greatest comedy out there. And there's a raunch level, and then they're way above that on cable TV, not pay cable. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So, but that was really all I watched. Other than rewatching old movies, I didn't end up watching anything else. So I'm going to take a moment to say, Tad, I hope everything's okay. And I look forward to your next voicemail. All right. So now we go on over to news. So Art, why don't you regale us with your first of many tabs of movie or TV news. So go ahead.
I'm going to lead off with Zach Penn adapts Hasbro's ROM into a feature. So we reported on the guy who was heading up the kind of Hasbro toy line, the Transformers, G.I. Joe, ROM, Micronauts. And at the time, it was said ROM was completely dead in the water. It was going nowhere. We probably weren't going to see it, and I was very, very disappointed. So I was very happy to see this headline. Zach Penn from Ready Player One, X-Men 2, has signed on to adapt the Hasbro toy property ROM into a live-action film for Allspark Pictures and Paramount Entertainment. Hailing from a utopian society on the planet Galador, ROM is a cyborg who, after defeating the invading dire wraith on its planet, continues to battle at Earth and other planets. Previously reported, Penn is also currently working on a script for Warner Brothers that is set in the Matrix universe. Right. So, busy, busy man. So ROM is back in the news, back up and running, and I'm very excited to see where this goes. I know he's just writing a script, and so it is, at this point, probably years out, but I am still holding out hope, keeping the flame alive for a ROM movie.
All right, speaking of keeping the flame alive, yes. This is a much smaller torch.
Okay.
But my first one is Hammer talks Batman, Call, and Uncle sequels. And we're not talking about MC Hammer, we're talking about Army Hammer. And the only reason this really interests me is not Batman or Call, but Uncle sequel I'm very interested in. I love The Man from U.N.C.L.E. They got a quote from Mr. Hammer about, are we going to have a sequel? So he starts, we'll see. Every time I sit down with Lionel Wigram, who is one of the writers and also the producer of the film, we start throwing ideas around. What about this? Well, what about that? It's that kind of thing. That was a fun movie to make. Working with Guy Ritchie was great. Doing that whole 60s spy thing was fun. Lionel was great. Alicia Vikander is fantastic. Henry Cavill is great. And Elizabeth Debicki. Everyone who worked on that was a lot of fun. If we're able to get a great script and get it all locked in, then I can't imagine anyone involved not going, yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'd love to do that again. So there's no reason to think that they'll do another one, but and with schedules and everything, you know, the smart money's on happening, but I will hope beyond hopes that we get another one. All right, Art, what you got next?
Okay. Dr. Doolittle voice cast released. So I'm pretty sure you mentioned at some point they were back to doing another Dr. Doolittle movie. This is the voice cast for all the animals. So Robert Downey Jr. is Dr. Doolittle. We have Selena Gomez as Betsy the Giraffe. We have Kumail Nanjiani as Plimpton and Ostrich. John Cena, Yoshi, a polar bear. Ralph Fiennes, Barry, a tiger. Octavia Spencer, Dab Dab, a duck. Rami Malek, Chi Chi Gorilla. Emma Thompson, Polynesian Parrot. Craig Robinson, Fleming, a mouse. And those are the ones I think of note. Interesting. The picture, the image is cut off, but it looks like Tom Holland might be in this. I'm trying to see if they have his name. No, I don't see it in whatchamacallit, in the body of the message. But that totally looks like him in the image, but it's cut off, so we have no name. So I don't know. We'll see who else makes their appearances. But I was a big fan of Dr. Doolittle in some of its incarnations. The original one from, like, I don't know, it was the 60s or the 70s. Mm-hmm. And the first one that Eddie Murphy did was good, and then it just kind of went downhill from there. Especially once they had his daughter take over, and it just got weird. I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with this and where it goes.
All right. So what do I want to talk about next? Okay. I forgot to talk about a trailer that I saw.
Okay.
And I was listening to my Sirius XM and some comedy show. They were talking about a trailer for this movie Tag.
And I was, yes.
Like, oh my gosh. What? There's a movie about Tag,
mm-hmm.
And so, okay, so the description off of IMDb is: a small group of former classmates organize an elaborate annual game of Tag that requires some to travel all over the country. And so, in this movie about Tag, and from what I understand, they play every year for 30 years, but it's only during the month of March. And so, you have Jeremy Renner, John Hamm, Jake Johnson, Ed Helms, and then Hannibal Buress are the five guys that are going to be playing Tag on screen. It looks dumb, but it might be okay. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought the trailer looked interesting.
So this is what Hawkeye does when he's not in Infinity War.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Absolutely. I see that 100%. All right. A little more interesting. We have Louis Tan is Shatterstar in Deadpool 2. Louis Tan from Into the Badlands and Iron Fist has confirmed he will be playing the X-Force mercenary Shatterstar in the upcoming Deadpool sequel. In the comics, Shatterstar is a genetically engineered, time-traveling, and dimension-hopping warrior from Mojo World, who became a founding member of X-Force. He's also gay in the comics, a decision his original creator initially railed against, but has since changed his tune on. Tan joins the long-confirmed Josh Brolin and Cable and Zazie Beetz as Domino, along with the more recently confirmed Terry Crews as Bedlam in the group of X-Force heroes. And that is Deadpool 2 is slated to open May 18th, so that is just around the corner as far as movie timelines go. I remember reading X-Force and seeing Shatterstar, and I remember that outfit and that Rob Liefeld art. It'll be interesting to see how he's portrayed. It's one of the characters who I read in my somewhat limited experience.
It's interesting in that Deadpool 2, when I first started hearing about it, so they're going to have Deadpool and Cable. And I was surprised that they're going to have a third one, Domino. But now it seems like the floodgates have opened.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to throw as many people as we can into Deadpool 2. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. All right, so we're going to pivot over to another Marvel movie that's coming out. And this is going to be Captain Marvel.
Mm.
And so Captain Marvel, which is going to have Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, or Carol Danvers, but since it's in the 90s, they also announced that some well-known Marvel characters are going to be reprising their roles in Captain Marvel. And according to Dark Horizons, they named three, but I cross-checked over with Hollywood Reporter, and there's actually going to be four. So it looks like we're going to have Nick Fury's going to be back, along with Coulson, and two guys that I thought, you know, would have been dead, but this is before that would ever happen. But Digimon Hunsu and Lee Pace. So Korath and Ronin will also be in this Captain Marvel movie. So it remains to be seen if this is going to be something that they're going to start doing from now on. But I'm in for Captain Marvel. That's basically what I'm saying. So, Art, what do you have next?
Okay, let's see. All right, this caught my eye. I still never got around to seeing Edge of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So Emily Blunt is talking about the Edge of Tomorrow sequel. There's a bit of Oh, okay. Speaking with Screen Crush this week during a promotion for a Quiet Place. Blunt has been busy over much of the past year shooting Disney's Mary Poppins Returns and reveals in a chat with IndieWire that it was her commitment to that which has prevented her so far from reprising her role of Rita in Edge of Tomorrow, sequel alongside Tom Cruise. Doug Liman has got an awesome idea and he's excited and they just need to write it. There has been a script, but now I gather there's another one in the works. It's a lot for all the stars to align, for everyone to be free at the same time and available to do it at the same time. They asked me to do it 2 months before I started Mary Poppins. Tom was like, can you go this autumn? And I was like, no, I can't go. I'm playing Mary Poppins for like a year. I can't do Edge of Tomorrow. So I know it's gotten quite of a following. A lot of people really enjoyed it and have been recommending it. And I still need to check it out. And now they're already talking about doing a sequel. So we'll see.
Interesting. Okay. I already talked about that. Okay, venturing out from the fanboy territory here, because we've been talking about fantasy, sci-fi, and superheroes. I have a little blurb about Roseanne. So apparently, the Roseanne reboot was on last night, and I guess relatively speaking, it had great ratings. They say that the rating is near the 5.7 rating the Game of Thrones season finale scored last year.
Wow.
So it looks like Roseanne's going to be around for a while. That's basically what I'm trying to get across.
Okay.
All right, Art, what you got next?
All right. So I'm going to stay. It's not fantasy. It's not sci-fi. It's Lego. Tiffany Haddish, Girls Trip, has joined the voice cast of the Lego movie sequel as the role of a key new character. Specifics about the movie's plot are under wraps, but original voice stars Chris Pratt and Elizabeth Banks are returning as the regular guy turned master builder Emmett Brickowski and Wildstyle. Also back are Will Arnett as Batman, Channing Tatum as Superman, and Jonah Hill as Green Lantern. Mike Mitchell is directing the film, which Dan Lin, Phil Lord, Chris Miller are producing. Lego Movie 2 is set for a February 8th, 2019 release, so over a year out still. But yeah, I can't get enough of the Lego stuff.
All right, well, that will kind of dovetail into another Lego news story, since I can get the load. I don't know what happened to it. Okay, so there is a new movie poster that has nothing to do with Lego, but it has to do with Incredibles 2.
Okay.
It's a very funny poster of what the Incredibles look like during the summer. And they've also announced that there's going to be a Lego game called The Incredibles. The game allows players to explore a number of locations from both movies, including Municiburg, and do you remember the name of the island?
No.
Okay, so from the same mines that brought us Mount Wanahakalugi from Finding Nemo.
Okay. Uh-huh.
The name of the island is No Manizan, as in no man is an island.
Wow.
So it's nice to see that they stayed up nights trying to think of a name for the
yeah. Island.
But yeah, so you're gonna be able to play as any of the Incredibles and hopefully Frozone in the new Lego game, The Incredibles. All right, Art. Anything else?
All right, my last little bit. X-Men Dark Phoenix reshoots. They are delaying the movie another 3 months to February 2019. I thought that was the biggest. It doesn't matter. They're still doing reshoots. They're still trying to maybe fix this movie. We'll see. Maybe make it better. But a 3 month delay, that is significant. So I thought that was worth reporting on. And that is my last story, sir.
Yeah, that is not a good sign.
No.
That is not a good sign. Okay, and my last story has to do with a company that apparently is sitting on a mountain upon a mountain of money. Okay, so you remember that Amazon was purported to be spending $500 million plus on two seasons for a brand new Lord of the Rings television series. You remember hearing that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the headline on Dark Horizons is as follows: Amazon plans 1 billion Chinese sci-fi series. So Amazon is reportedly pursuing a deal for a 3-season TV series based on the Hugo winning sci-fi novel trilogy Remembrance of Earth's Past. Price tag up to $1 billion. $1 billion. The Financial Times broke the report, saying international investors are telling them Amazon is negotiating for the rights to produce 3 seasons based on the book series that began with and is better known by the title The Three-Body Problem. Okay, so the plot of the books. The set against the backdrop of China's Cultural Revolution. In the first book, a secret military project sends signals into space to establish contact with aliens. One civilization on the brink of destruction captures the signal and plans to invade Earth. Meanwhile, different camps start forming amongst humanity with plans to either welcome the superior beings and help them take over a world seen as corrupt, or to fight against the invasion. In a statement reported by Chinese news outlets, Yuzu Pictures stated that it remains the sole owners for the film and TV rights for the series and didn't comment on whether Amazon had approached the company. The author, because I'm not saying his name again, was also asked by Chinese news outlets, and he revealed he knew nothing about the project and doesn't know if he'd be invited to work on it. A $30 million film adaptation of the first book was shot in 2015, but has yet to be released. So, and then they say Amazon previously made the deal for $500 million for 2 seasons. This three-body problem deal will be notably bigger than that.
Yeah, you said $1 billion, and before you even said what the genre was, I was like, it's got to be sci-fi, and they're actually going to shoot it in space, right? I mean, $1 billion, that's insane.
Yeah, that's a lot of two-day free shipping, man. All right, so with that will be the end of this episode of Backseat Box Office. Our website is backseatproducers.com, where you can find back episodes of this show and also episodes of another podcast, Backseat Producers, where they talk full on about movies and of course other stuff. And you can also find our voicemail number, which is eluding me right now. So you can go to the website, but we get a 1 week break. I'll remember it next time, guys. All right. So, other than that, this has been Backseat Box Office. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time. Art, what do you have to say?
Good night, everybody.